I started using food to deal with my emotions and kind of like an F you every time someone told me that, should you be really eating that? Or like, do you really need the white rice? Or it was really hard because I just felt like a failure every time someone told me that I was overweight or I was fat.
Hey, I'm Jackie Kirshen, obsessed with all things sustainable weight loss, mindful eating, transforming minds, and empowering you. I'm a registered dietitian and mom who's lost 65 pounds and grew a successful coaching business helping other women do the same. Join me to learn tried and true weight loss secrets while healing your relationship with food and your body. You'll get unfiltered real talk, support, and some tough Jackie love as we dive into motherhood, mindset shift, entrepreneurship, and mastering this crazy thing called life. Think of this as your one-stop shop for a coffee date with your best friend, guide, and mentor mixed with weight loss coaching. Tune in to be challenged, encouraged, and laugh as we change lives together. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show.
Hey guys, welcome to the first episode of the Mindful Nutritionist Show. Oh my God, I cannot believe I am saying that. It's literally going to take me a hot minute to get used to saying that. I cannot tell you how excited I am and how long I have waited to do this. I'll never forget, I was pregnant with Olivia, my first, and it was October 2021. And I had so many clients and followers and family and friends always saying, like, I just love listening to you. Do you have a podcast? Or I had clients saying, like, I just want like little nuggets of Jackie in, you know, my ear all the time. And I was like so flattered, and it was the sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me. And if you guys know me in person and in real life, you know I am just, as you could probably tell now, I'm very bubbly, I'm very outgoing, and I can literally talk to a wall and entertain myself. So I was always like, yeah, I should start a podcast. And it's just the fear that's set in, which we all go through, right? I was like, how do I start a podcast? How do I even like record? And I will be very honest, even recording this first episode, I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out this stupid AI to record and like give me the transcript. And then I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do this and I'm just going to have fun. And so that's why I'm here. I am here to show you how you can sustainably lose weight while eating the foods you love. So I'm really excited. I want to really start the journey of my podcast journey and really start with my story. And I thought that was really important. I'm breaking these, you know, episodes up, these first two episodes, into part one and part two. So part one today, we're going to be going over, and I wanted to share just my weight loss journey and my story, the ups and downs, the highs and lows. And in the next episode, you'll hear more about how I overcame my eating disorder, disordered eating, and infertility, and really came full circle and how I became the mindful nutritionist. So if you don't know me, hi, I'm Jackie. I'm a registered dietitian and nutritionist. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm an entrepreneur, and I help women sustainably lose weight while eating the foods they love, while healing their relationship with food and their body through mindful eating so they never have to go on a diet ever again. And it is something that I went through myself with my 65-pound weight loss journey 14 years ago. It's so weird to say 14 years ago. And it is not over. I am still going through, you know, things that I'm working through when it comes to healing my relationship with my body image and especially motherhood, which we'll get into, you know, the next episode, just completely changes things, right? But I really wanted to take a moment today to just get to know you and also to share with you from what I've been through. And I hope that my story touches you. But if anything, I hope it shows you that you're not alone. And if I cry, because I will probably cry on multiple episodes while I have the Mindful Nutritionist Show, whether you're watching this or you're listening and I'm in your ear, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for trusting me, and thank you for being here. Thank you for being vulnerable, and thank you for being open and willing to learn. I know when I talk about mindful eating that it's not crazy, sexy, cool, and it's not the, you know, lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, and you know, it's not easy, but it's permanent. And it's sustainable, and it will change your life. And I'm just really excited to change your life. So I wanted to start again with part one of my story, which is kind of, you know, starting from when I was about 8-10 years old, all the way up until I was 19-20. So for about 10 years, and when I really started my weight loss journey. So I know that a lot of this will resonate with you. So let's dive on in. All right. I am so excited to share part one of my 65-pound weight loss journey because I know that any part of my journey, you are going to see yourself. And even though our two stories aren't going to be 100% aligned, I had a conversation with someone yesterday and listening to her story. And here I am. I've been a weight loss dietitian, you know, for 7 years now. And I am still in like, aha, when I hear someone else's story, because it still reminds me today that I'm not alone and that like the shit that I went through was so like real and someone else went through it as well, but different. So I wanted to share kind of just my evolution, and I'm really excited to share again how I was able to lose the 65 pounds and keep it off, and then we'll get into part two in the next episode. But so it really started when I was around 9 years old, and you know, it's really interesting because I guess I always knew I was a little chubby. You know, they always called me cute, chubby little Jackie, but it never bugged me, right? No one ever was like, you need to lose weight or anything when I was young. So when I was 9 years old, my beloved late grandfather, Jaime Galis, who was literally my rock and is someone who just holds such a big piece of my heart and so many amazing memories, he said something so benign, but that's when my journey started. And he said something, he touched my legs and called my legs like cute polkas, like chicken polkas. So if you guys know, I don't know if that's Yiddish or, you know, something like, you know, it's the chicken leg. It's like the chunky chicken leg. And I just remember hearing that and really saying to myself, excuse me, my legs are fat. And that's all I could remember. And that's when it really started. So as I was growing up, a few years later, I was, you know, studying to become a bat mitzvah. And so for those of you that don't know, I'm Jewish and I'm very connected to Israel and more of the cultural side of Judaism. I'm not necessarily religious, but it was very important to me to become a bat mitzvah. And so I remember when I was shopping for my first, you know, outfit, you know, it's like a whole ordeal. And when I was in Banana Republic with my mom. And I, again, was 12 years old and kind of starting, you know, getting my period and puberty and all of that kind of stuff. And I remember, you know, looking for sizes and I didn't really know. I didn't shop for like women's clothes at that time. I was still kind of in like kids' clothes. And I remember being told that, you know, oh, you're a size 6. That's interesting. I thought you would have been a size 0 or 2. And I'll just never forget. I put on this beautiful white suit with this BCBG top. I'll never forget. It was super colorful. And I felt so confident and I felt so sexy. And I looked in the mirror. And when I heard those words, hi, a size 6. Wow. I thought you would have been, you know, you should have been, whatever it was. Because again, my brain probably distorted it. I mean, I just remember looking at myself and you saying, oh, remembering what my grandpa said, you're so fat. You should not be this big. And that is all I heard starting from the age of 12. So that's when my diet started, right? That's when all of the God knows how many diets I've been on, but my very first diet was Weight Watchers. And I don't know if you guys can relate, probably many of you, Weight Watchers was also your first, where it's kind of like, it's not like super intense, right? It's not like, you know, you're cutting out all of these foods, but it is a restrictive way to eat, right? You were going based off of, you know, points. And at that time when I was on it, we didn't have, you know, the free for all where like vegetables and fruit were like free points. But I'll never forget, I went into my first meeting in, I was 12 years old. I even remember the outfit I was wearing, like, you know, these like jean shorts and a white tank top. And again, it was kind of this like really, it was this hard moment where it's like, I kind of knew what people were saying about me because they were saying it to my face. But I also like
in my body. I was like, wait, what? I'm fat? Like, really? And it was confusing for me. So I remember I got weighed. I don't remember how much I weighed, but I remember sitting down. Oh, I have the chills. I'll never forget. I was 12 years old and I was sitting in a room with, you know, probably 20 to 30, 50 year old plus, right? You know, I was a kid. I was a child. And there was all of these women. And I will never forget. One of them was complaining about, you know, I really want the ketchup. And like, she was talking about how much sugar is in the ketchup and how she can't have the ketchup and the mayo. And it's like all of these condiments. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, what's wrong with ketchup? And again, I was a 12 year old. And I remember getting my points and going through the whole process. And I had 21 points. And I remember looking up, you know, on the, I don't know if it's the app at that time. I'm pretty sure we had the booklet and I remember peanut butter. And I just remember saying to myself, I can't have that because then I'm not going to be able to eat the rest of the day. And it just, I was so like, I just felt like, what am I doing? I was so lost. It made me more confused. So, you know, I was, you know, doing Weight Watchers and nothing really happened. I didn't learn anything. You know, no one really came to be like, you know, how can I support you and how can I educate you? It just really taught me what I couldn't eat. And I just pretty much felt that I could only eat, as my brother would call it, rabbit food. So I don't know if any of that relates to you. I'm sure it does. And so as the years went on, you know, I still struggled with my weight. I was kind of like on and off Weight Watchers. I half-assed it. I was like kind of doing points, kind of not. And it just, I was really confused. And I'll never forget, I was 16 years old. And I want to preface too that, like, I was a very lucky child the way that I grew up. I grew up in a very loving home. My parents, you know, have been so incredible to pretty much give me anything that I needed. I had, you know, a brother and amazing friends. I had a boyfriend at the time. I hung out with, you know, really amazing people who are still my friends today. So I'm very grateful that I grew up in a very privileged way. And I'm very aware of that. And it was really hard because when it came to my weight, I was always bigger than my friends. But I think I put up this front that I knew what people were saying about me. I knew, you know, the things that what my parents were telling me, or again, like my grandpa, like those small little comments. And I think I put up this front of like, I am, you know, happy in my body. And I kind of like, you know, really stood ground to that. Like, this is, you know, something that I like the way I look. And because I had all of these other good things going on for me. So I'm really proud of myself. I didn't even realize consciously that I think I was protecting myself. But I was at an annual physical when I was 16 years old. And I'll never forget, my doctor, you know, had to have this talk with me. And I don't know if it's something that my parents asked the doctor to talk about, or it just, again, was something that they kind of skated around and they never actually said anything until I was 16. And my doctor, I'll never forget when she said, you know, you're obese and we need to have you start watching your carbs and you need to start going to the gym. And I was 16 years old. And again, it's just kind of like those moments of the Weight Watchers in that room, the dressing room in Banana Republic, my grandpa Polkas. It just like all started flooding back to me. And that's when I said, well, you know what? Shit. This is something that, you know, apparently, you know, I have an issue and I'm fat and I am a failure and I have to fix this. And so what did I do? I started reading every blog. At that time, blogs were like a very big thing. And I followed every single blogger that had to say anything about getting a six pack, losing weight, just anything when it came to that. So fast forward 3 years later, you know, it was a very stressful time in my life because I was going to college. I was trying to get into my number one school, which was Emory. And I'm very grateful that I got in, early decision. I had broken up with my boyfriend. He went to Dartmouth and I was still in San Diego. So, you know, that was very hard on me as well. And I just used food to really cope and deal with my emotions. I was eating, sleeping, studying, and repeating just over and over and over again. And a part that I left out, which is actually probably a big part of my journey is that like I was always very athletic. And it's something that I just naturally was, you know, very good at soccer and volleyball and anything that I did. But my weight actually affected me a lot. And I got slower and slower every single year because I started using food to deal with my emotions. And kind of like an F you, every time someone told me that, should you be really eating that? Or like, do you really need the white rice? Or it was really hard because I just felt like a failure every time someone told me that I was overweight or I was fat. And so that is something that it just constantly got worse and worse. And then I started really yo-yoing, right? I saw my friends eating a Clif Bar and an apple for lunch. So I tried it and then I was starving and then I would binge. And it was just this like vicious cycle. So fast forward to when I finally got to Emory, and that was the heaviest that I had ever been. And it was finally, I was in a place where it was buffet and, you know, all you could eat, and no parent was there to tell me, right, you can and cannot have this. Because when I was a kid, I wasn't allowed those things because, again, my parents were doing their very best. And I love you guys. I'm sure you're listening right now. And I wasn't allowed to eat a lot of the foods that my friends would have. So when I'd go to their house, I would eat it all because I wasn't allowed the Oreos. I wasn't allowed, you know, the cookies and the Doritos because my parents were trying to get me to lose weight and in a way that they thought. But of course, what happened is it was just free for all. So that's what happened to me when I got to Emory. So I was about 19 years old, and I don't need to get into all of the details, but you know, I didn't know how to feed myself. I had such a messed up relationship with food because it's like, oh my God, I can have Einsteins every day. So literally I would get a potato bagel every day, egg and cheese, and you know, a coffee with sugar. I just didn't know how to feed myself. And I didn't think I was doing anything quote unquote wrong, but I obviously, clearly, I didn't know how to nourish my body. And so I was drinking a lot of orange juice and eating a lot of cereal. And like, I'm telling you, like bowls and bowls and bowls, because I didn't get that at home. I wasn't allowed that. So after my first full year at Emory, I came home for a physical, and I just have a lot of great experiences apparently at doctor's offices, and I'll never forget. And it was kind of like something that I feel like I just knew what was going to happen, right? I knew the doctor was going to say something. And so, of course, I got my labs back and all of that stuff, but this time it was different.
Hey, San Diego foodies, let me tell you about my latest obsession, Pita 22 in Carmel Valley. It's not your average Israeli restaurant. It's a flavor paradise tailored perfectly for your taste buds and health goals. Imagine Mediterranean dishes crafted from scratch with love and fresh, healthy ingredients, no sneaky artificial additives. From homemade pitas to labneh and even tomato sauce, there are no shortcuts taken here. And their menu is a dream for everyone. Vegetarian delights like house-made falafel and crispy cauliflower with zucchini, which is my absolute favorite. They also have family-friendly favorites like chicken schnitzel, which my daughter Olivia loves, and the softest homemade pita bread you'll ever taste. I've spent 11 summers in Israel, and trust me, this is the best Mediterranean food. And here's the best part. As a Mindful Nutritionist Show listener, when you head on over to Pita 22 and use the code MINDFUL, you'll get a free hummus. Yup, that is a special treat just for us podcast listeners. So whether you're in for a hearty grilled kebab or a delicious weekend breakfast like shakshuka, Pita 22 has got you covered. I'm a regular, the flavors never disappoint, and perfectly complement your wellness journey. So join me at Pita 22, indulge in fantastic flavors, and remember to use the code MINDFUL for that free hummus, and I can't wait to see you there.
So my doctor told me that I was pre-diabetic and asked me, I'll never forget. He was like, so how many alcoholic drinks do you have a day? And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what? Okay, I'm 19 years old. I was, you know, in a sorority. I was at Emory. I was having fun, but I was definitely not drinking every single day and like crazy as he was kind of like insinuating. And I even said to him, I was like, what do you mean? Like, maybe a few on the weekend when I go out and this and that, but like not a lot. And he said, well, you know, your liver enzymes are extremely elevated. So now understanding that you have something called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And I swear, when I say my heart went into my stomach, I know you guys, when you go on like a roller coaster and you're just like everything drops into your stomach, that finally hit me. And hearing that I was pre-diabetic and with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, I just said, oh my goodness, I have to do something about this. And I will tell you, that is the very first time that when I wanted to take control of my health. And so for all of these years, starting from the age of 9 up until then, it was always someone else. My aunt pulled me aside once, my grandpa said something, my parents said something, my doctor said something, people talked behind my back. Like, you know, I'm not an idiot, but this was the very first time that I said, wow, I need to do something about this. And the fact that I knew I was pre-diabetic and I was just in this zone where I could go into this way and, you know, go down the diabetes route, or I could go that way and do something about my health. So I was kind of in shock. And this is when my mom, she gave me an ultimatum, which, you know, hi, mom. I'm glad you're listening. I was grateful. I wouldn't say it was the best approach, but she essentially said, look, we have to do something about this. And so she had heard from one of her friends of a nutritionist who helped her lose weight. And she said, you are going to this nutritionist. And if you don't like it, you don't have to go again. And so I was just kind of like, you know what? Fine. Fuck it. Like, I'm going to do it. So I'll never forget. I went to Hash House A Go-Go with one of my best friends, Aliza. Hi, Aliza, if you're listening. And I'll never forget. They have like the most massive portions. So I ordered, it's kind of like my last supper. I'm sure you guys have done kind of the same thing before when you like, I knew I was going on a diet, right? I've been through it before. All the Weight Watchers time, all of the restriction that I had did, I knew the starting and stopping like it was the back of my hand. So that is when I, you know, had my last supper and I went to see Corrine. And I remember sitting down in her office and I'll never forget, she looked at me and she's just like the kindest person ever. And she said, well, how can I help you? What do you want to feel? What do you want to work on? And it was the first time, it was so refreshing that someone asked me, what do I want? Instead of, you're fat, you're overweight, you're obese, you need to lose weight, you need to go to the gym, you need to do this, X, Y, Z, you can only eat 21 points. And everything was always about, you need to do this. And it was the first time that someone actually genuinely asked me, what did I want? And that's when everything changed. And I'm so grateful for that moment, because that moment, that summer, it was 2009, right? Or 2010, I can't remember, but I was 19 years old and everything changed. And that's when I started working with Corrine. And that's when more of the goodness comes, right? So this is when I started my weight loss journey. And I had no idea it would turn into mindful eating. I had no idea it would be something that I even learned without actually trying to practice it. It just kind of naturally happened. So I started to work with Corrine. I would see her every single week. And I started to really understand nutrition. And I love the fact that she approached it in a way that was very slow and really taught me, you know, what are some ways that I could add nutrition, right? So it really started by just looking at what I was eating, and I would use a food journal and I would share it with her. And it was, again, a very loving approach. And it was just showing me how I can make the best choices for my body. So I slowly started to make changes. And when I say slowly, guys, I mean like freaking ice, tortoise, like glacier. Well, glaciers are fast. You know the saying, right? So very, very slow. So I mentioned I would drink a lot of juice. And so something that I would do, because I thought I was getting vitamin C and I thought I was, you know, being super healthy. I remember the very first thing that I did, I went to my grandparents' house because it's very close, as I mentioned, with my grandpa. And we were having lunch. And, you know, I made myself a salad with chicken. I was making all of these great, you know, choices when it came to my food. And I used to drink three massive, massive, like 16 ounce each of orange juice. And, you know, that's when I started looking at labels and she was teaching me, again, knowledge is power. And so I looked at it and I just remember being like, holy shit, that's a lot of sugar. So the very first thing, guess what I did? Instead of having three tall glasses of just or straight up orange juice, I diluted one of them and I just tried to cut down a little bit. And then slowly but surely, the three with one diluted became to two with one diluted one. And then, you know, eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going to have the real orange instead. And it was very slow and progressive. And it was something that I didn't feel with that restriction like I did in Weight Watchers. And so I did a lot of really great changes when I came to my food. And now I want to share like the big aha that I had. And I think this was like the biggest pivotal point of my journey. So I started to see weight loss clearly, right? I was eating bowls of cereal and French toast and, you know, half a challah and all of these things. And again, not really giving a shit about what I was putting into my body and using food. I'm not kidding when I say I have eaten an entire challah on my own because, again, someone said that, you know, I was overweight or, you know, commented something about my body. I really used food to cope. And it was something that finally I felt so empowered when I was nourishing my body and making those choices for myself to be the healthiest version of myself. And so I was a camp counselor and at the JCC here in San Diego, and for Maccabi, it's like 6 to 8 year olds. And I'll never forget, I tell this story all the time because this is the beginning of my mindful eating journey when I was having my lunch. And I remember I packed a beautiful, healthy lunch. I had a, you know, high fiber wrap with salmon and veggies and, you know, all this beautiful spread. And I remember I had half of my wrap and I stopped for a second and I was like, huh, I feel really satisfied. And it was like, oh my God, what do I do? And then I had this like panic. I'm like, what do I do? Do I finish it? I have so much more food. Like what? I can't waste it. Like that Jewish mother, like kind of like I could hear my mom be like, don't waste the food, don't throw it away. And I just remember being like, what do I do? And it was this very pivotal moment where I remember Corinne talking about portions and things like that. And I was measuring and understanding, but this was like the first time that I used my own intuition. And that's when my mindful eating kicked in. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to stop. I feel satisfied. And I'm going to finish this later when I get hungry again. And I'm going to see what happens. And so I'll never forget. I put it away. It was like this very uncomfortable feeling. Have you guys ever felt that before when you have like a few bites left on your plate and you're like, do I finish it? Do I not? What do I do? And you actually don't. And you're like, oh my God, like I can't, I'm going to waste it. But like when it's away and it's like away from you and you're like, I'm really happy I made that choice. And so the next thing I know, it was like snack time, you know, hours later at 4 o'clock. And I had the rest of my, I didn't even have my snack, right? I had the rest of my wrap and the weight started to really come off. And I was just like, oh my God. And so that's when my mindful eating journey and me understanding what mindful eating and connecting to my cues, that's when that really started. So fast forward a year and a half, guys. It took me a year and a half, but I lost 65 pounds. I hit two major plateaus, I'll never forget. And at the time I was shooting for a certain number, which again, you will learn a lot from me that you are more than the scale. But at the time I was measuring body fat percent, muscle mass, and also the scale. So I had a number in mind and I wanted to be 120 pounds. I'm 5 foot for those of you that know I'm a ball of energy in a very small body. And so I'll never forget, I hit two major plateaus and thank goodness I had Corinne and she just helped me troubleshoot. We tried different things. You know, I got into running instead of the elliptical. I tried different things when it came to my nutrition and I'm telling you, I didn't know everything. I used to eat like a big thing of beans and cheese because I thought like, oh my God, it's protein and it's beans and fiber and cheese is, you know, healthy fat and fat and things like that. And I learned so much from my mindful eating journey of connecting to my body and having a coach. And I can 100% attest my success was because I was working with my nutritionist, because I was working with Kareen, because I was troubleshooting. So it took me a year and a half. And so I'll never forget, I was getting ready to study abroad for Italy. And I was going to live in Florence for 4 months. And I remember just being like, I really want to be 120. I really want to hit my weight loss goal before I leave. So I could kind of, you know, enjoy myself and the gelato and all the things. And of course, I stepped on the scale my last time I was going to see Kareen before I was going to Italy. And I saw that 120. And I just have never, ever, ever been so proud of myself. So I hit my weight loss goal. I went to Italy. And it's a long story, which I won't get into. But I found out I was gluten and dairy intolerant. Not by choice, guys. Not by choice. But so that made Italy a little challenging in the beginning, but it was the best 4 months of my life because I could still enjoy small little bits. So I had gelato literally every day, just like a little bit. But I ate so incredibly well with fresh fruits. And so it was very sweet. I lived with a host family. So instead of having pasta for my like preemie that everyone else had, my host mom would make me minestrone soup with veggies and, you know, beans and things like that. And so, and that's when I picked up running in Italy because I didn't want to pay 300 euros to go on an elliptical in a tiny little, you know, Italian, you know, little hut. So I started running along the Arno River. And I remember I hit 120 and I made my next goal that I wanted to run a half marathon. So I promised myself, as long as I could run for 2 hours straight, I'm going to sign up for a half marathon. And so I spent the 4 months just living my best life. I ate whatever I wanted. I ate really well, but I listened to my body and I ate until I was satisfied every single time. And I enjoyed myself and I was really practicing mindful eating. I was living a life with conviviality and appreciating food. And it just was incredible. So I'll never forget, Kareen had me bring a dress and something that was like tight on my waist with a belt to help me measure. And I remember there's definitely times, guys, that I was like, oh, I've gained weight and this and that. And I used to have phone calls with her just to check in. And I'll never forget the very last day of Italy. I put on, it was this like black BCB dress. I have a history with BCBG apparently. And I'll never forget, I used to be like the tightest notch in the belt. And then I finally put it on and I was so, so scared. And this is where, you know, we'll definitely talk about body dysmorphia and distortion. And I was just like, oh my God, I gained weight and, you know, it didn't work and blah, blah, blah. And I put the dress on and I was the tightest belt notch. And it was like 4 in and I had no idea. And I was over the moon. So I mean, I came back and I was an extra 10 pounds lighter when I actually saw Kareen. It looked like I maintained quite a lot of my muscle. I had dropped a lot of body fat percent, I think, from just the way that I was living life. I was very happy. I was walking a lot. I was eating really well. And that to me was the highlight. But then that's when my type A perfectionist really kicked in. And that is when I will share in the next episode when I lost connection to my mindful eating. And that is when the diet culture and, you know, really sticking to societal norms is really something that kicked in and kind of overtook. And I just didn't know how to stop losing the weight. So I will get into that into the next episode. But I wanted to share with you today the long journey, right? And that's part one of how I got here. So if you started when you were a child, if people have commented on your body, doctors have said things. You've tried every, I mean, I think up until before I actually started working with Kareen, I had tried about like 13 to 16 different diets. I did the maple syrup diet. I did the cabbage soup diet, the grapefruit diet. I clearly did Weight Watchers. I did keto. I did intermittent fasting. I did just everything under the sun, right? Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, all of the things. And nothing worked until I started practicing listening to my own body and practicing mindful eating. And that's why I'm here today. So I want to share this part and show you that you are not alone and that it is possible. And that is why I am here as a dietitian. So I'll share next episode kind of my rock bottom, because like I said, I didn't know how to stop. And it also was my lowest low, but that led to my highest high again. So if any of this resonates with you, again, you are not alone. And I am here to support you and to be real and authentic and guide you and show you that it is possible to lose weight while eating the foods you love. It is possible to look at yourself in the mirror and love yourself. And I have helped hundreds and hundreds of clients do this. And I know I can help you too. And it just comes down to figuring out what foods work best for you, what lifestyle works best for you. And again, healing from the inside out. So I hope you enjoyed this part one of my story. I hope that you found little nuggets of at least, you know, like, I can do this, right? You can come out on the other side. I'm excited to share part two, because I think it's a really important part that you know, and that many of you are going to relate to, but that why I practice mindful eating is because you can practice it anytime, anywhere, any point of your journey. And I lost sight of that for quite a while. And I'm so lucky that I found my way back. And now I've really, really solidified my practice. And that's why I've been able to help so many women sustainably lose weight while eating the foods you love. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and check out episode part two for the rest of my mindful eating and weight loss journey. And I'll see you there. Thank you so much for sticking around and listening to part one of my 65-pound weight loss journey. And again, I hope that this episode at least showed you that you are not alone and that it is possible for you to lose weight in a healthy, sustainable way while eating the foods you love. And also, if you have struggled with any sort of disordered eating or diet culture in the past, I encourage you to think about what you want your life to look like instead. If anything that I talked about when it came to really practicing and living mindful eating, it is the only sustainable way to lose weight while eating the foods you love and living your best balanced life while healing your relationship with food and your body. And it took me a really long time to get here. Lots of highs, lots of lows. Again, I'll be sharing that in the next episode. But so if you are ready to take control, if you are ready to finally ditch diet culture and understand what your body is trying to tell you and work with it instead of against it, I would love to support you. And that is why I created Mindful Weight Loss Academy. It's literally taken everything that I struggled with and everything that worked for me, and I have bundled it up so you can get your results faster and with ease. So again, if any of my story relates, I definitely would love for you to check out the application below. And if you want 2024 to be the year that you don't have to diet and that you can actually lose weight while eating the foods you love and feeling best in your body, then let's have a chat, because Mindful Weight Loss Academy is the perfect place for you. So I am so excited that you are here. I would be so incredibly honored if you guys left a 5-star rating and review. That helps me so much so I can bring on incredible guests, which I have so many lined up for you. And please, if you listen to this episode, tag me in Instagram. I love connecting with you guys. DM me at the.mindful.nutritionist. And I hope I get to see you and see your ahas on social media and connect with you there. And I cannot wait to share the rest of my journey with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation just as much as I did. As always, anything mentioned, any links, any notes will all be linked on our website, mindfulnutritionistshow.com. Just head on over there to take a look. And if you haven't connected with me yet personally, I would love to meet you. Come and find me on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist and please DM me. Let me know if you listened to the episode and what you thought. I seriously love hearing from you. Or come to the Mindful Nutritionist Show Facebook page and say hi. I would love to connect with you there. Thanks so much for being here and for being so amazing. I can't wait to chat next time.